वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। So the topic now in the Tattva Bodha we are going to discuss is called Atman or Atma, or what is the Swarupam of Atma? How do you know what is Atma? And the author here says that the Atman is Sat, Chit and Anandaha. So it is made of three components called Sat, Chit and Anandaha. So we'll have to now look at each of them one by one to see what is Sat, what is Chit and what is Anandaha. So the second verse says Sat Kim, means what is Sat? It says Kala Traya Api Tishtat Iti Sat. Kala Traya means that which is existing in all the three times. Traya means three and Kalaha means time. Past, present and future. Kala Traya Api means all the three periods of time, past, present and future. Tishtati means it stays, it exists. So that which is existing in all the three periods of time is called existence. So it is not that, no, it is not existing in a particular time. It is always there. It is always there as a pure existence. And that's what, you know, the consciousness is what lends, you know, to the existence. Okay. So we'll go through each of them, the points which I had written down for this one. So the first one we talked about was this existence is called the Tat Pada Laksha Artaha. See, there are three things to be discussed in the Upanishad or in the understanding of the Mahavakya. Tat, Tvam, Asi. Okay. So, Tat is the Tat Pada Lakshartaha, or we talk about the existence. Then, Tvam Pada Lakshartaha, where we talk about Ishvara and how they are connected together. Then, Asi Padartha, which is the connection between you, the individual, and the Paramatma is the three Lakshartha. So here it talks about the Tatpada Lakshartha or the Brahman, which is called a Paramatma. It's called as a Paramatma here. Okay. So the first thing is that it is not a property of the universe. It is something distinct from the universe. So when you say existence, it doesn't mean that the universe is existing. Within existence, the universe is there. So, the universe actually is substratum of existence. It is distinct from every object universally. So, that which is different from every object is existence. The third point is, it is one indivisible, partless whole, that which cannot be divided and which has got no parts, is whole. Aham Purnaha is the meaning of this. Kalatraya Api, we saw that it cannot be divided. It's because it is existing in all the three times. How can you divide it saying that it is morning or evening or afternoon? It is pervading all the three times. So there is no time restriction for this existence. That's why it says here, it's one indivisible, partless whole. See, you can only say that if you quantify time, then it's actually mithya, because that which is divisible, you know that it is not real. Anything which is starting and ending time has got a definite start and end time. So you can predict. Whereas this existence is there. It is always there, right from the beginning. So it has got no beginning and no end. then it pervades all objects. So the Brahman, see, existence is nothing but Brahman or consciousness, I'm the name for it. So it pervades all objects and lends existence to every object. So the, any objects which are there, it is existing because of this consciousness. If we are not conscious or if you are not aware about it, that object doesn't exist for us, correct? Say if you don't know anything about a particular topic, it is as good as not existing for you. But the moment you come into light, then this consciousness lends existence to that object. So your knowledge grows. You come to know, you come to be aware about it. So the awareness also is actually, you know, is part of the same consciousness. You become aware, you become conscious, and the consciousness lights up. And in that, all the objects are shining. The next one is this. It is not restricted by any boundaries of the objects. You cannot bound, you cannot bind this, you know, this existence by saying I am going to box this into a space. You cannot say that I am going to be existing only in this bedroom or in this room only. What happens if you break this room? Space, everything flows out, right? So even though you are boxing it, in reality, for example, this existence cannot be contained. It's like, you know, the pot space. Can you say that the pot space is different from the external space? It is only contained the space for the moment. The moment the pot breaks, the space is released. And space is already existing there. You only superimposed the space, saying that this is pot space. It's called kalpitaha. Kalpitaha means that which is superimposed is called the word kalpitaha. So we always have kalpita, maya kalpita. Superimposition of something on the atma or the consciousness is called kalpita. Karpane, you can call it Tamil karpane. So karpane is like when we imagine things that this is what it is because of lack of knowledge. The swarupa of the pot is only clay. The real nature of the pot is only clay. But what do? We see, okay, this is a pot. But we forget that the source of that is clay. And the clay is also part of Prakriti and is part of Brahman, Maya, everything. So you'll have to somehow negate those things and ultimately come to the reality. In Vyavarika model, transactional model, yes, it is pot. But the absolute model, this is not a pot. It is only clay. And clay, that's what we should do. So anything which you analyze, you have to say, is it permanent or impermanent? Will the pot will be forever or the clay will be forever? Likewise, will this body will be forever or will this consciousness or that which is lighting up this body will be forever? This is the question you have to keep on asking every time. Anything you come across, that will make you a judgmental call. Okay, look, I am actually looking at everything which is not permanent and I'm, you know, superimposing kalpita on this. Okay? Next one, it continues to exist even after objects disappear. Objects may come and go, but the existence is always there. If you are in the, what do you call, in a dark room. I don't know if you've gone to Isha Foundation. You know, I think I have not gone to Isha Foundation. Somebody has gone to Isha Foundation. My wife can. Some people went there. My teacher told me not to go there specifically. She said, don't go to that place. Don't go especially that, you know, that it's pitch dark there. You should go into that pitch dark. You can't even see who's sitting behind or front. But if I call name Natarajan, you will say, yes. Right? You don't need light to tell you that who is Natarajan. Even though the light is not there, but the pure existence is there. Right? How do you know that you are there? Because you are there as pure consciousness. Only thing is what, there's no reflection model. You can't see anybody there. But you, the moment they call a name, you know that, yes, I am here. Ullenaya. Right? You call that. Because what is this prompting you to who I am? I am. That is this consciousness. You can be anywhere and you will be just by yourself. You cannot mistake yourself, correct? Can you ever mistake yourself? I am not this. I am always like this. So this I am or this true is the consciousness existence. So this is what is lending existence to everything else. If you don't exist, nothing else exists, correct? If physically we are not there, if you're dead or not there, then this is not for us. So even though the objects may not be there, it will still be available. It actually still lends existence to the objects. Right? They come and disappear. In the light, when you put the light on, objects come. It doesn't mean that the object was not there. It was there. You didn't see it. Correct? So this is called, it exists continuously even after the objects disappear. It is time-wise limitless. It has got no time. We saw the Kala Traya, Tishtati. It is existing in all the three times. It is not limited by time. If you say it is going to be only available in the morning from 9 to 5 or 9 to 12, and then after 12 o'clock it disappears, and then only from 4 to 6 available, then we have a problem. But it is available as Shuddha Chaitanyam or as consciousness, that which reflects everything continuously. We are seeing in the Dhrita Shivaka also that this Sakshi or the witness is available for perception only through the eyes or the organs of the sense organs. But this itself doesn't get reflected by anything else. So I may not be there, the ears may not be functioning, but it doesn't mean that it's not there, you know, the consciousness. It is there, but it's not available for transactional experience. So that's why you can't say. Temporarily you might be blind. You may not be able to, you have a problem with your eyes, you can't see things. A person may have a physical injury in the eye, the golakam, and he might be under treatment from a doctor. You cannot tell him that you are blind, you can't see. Yes, he is blind, he can't see. But it doesn't mean that the power behind eyes is not there. The power is there. But the power to reflect, you know, is not there. It's available. The moment you get treated, the moment your eyes are perfectly okay, you will be able to see. But you have to open the eyes first to see. Like, there's an example with Swamiji used to quote. There's a person who goes to the doctor, a blind man. And the doctor tells you, I will cure your disease. So he goes for treatment. He spends about maybe 3 weeks or so. This is a major operation. He gets corrected. Naturally, when the doctor opens, you know, he will say, first of all, you know, open slowly the eyes. Whom do you want to see first, right? He'll say, normally say, I want to see my wife or doctor, whoever it is, related nearby person. But this person is actually afraid. He says, I don't want to open my eyes. What if I'm not able to see? His question is, what if I'm not able to see at all? Sometimes we have this doubt, right? I was blind before. The doctor treated you. Now you are... You want to be blind because you are afraid that when you open the eyes, you will not be able to see. Doctor cannot do anything. Doctor says, look, you have to open the eyes first to see whether you can see or not. Right? If you don't open the eyes and if you imagine that you cannot see, then nobody can help you. So it's exactly the same thing as what it is. The Atma says, you know, the text says that you are this pure consciousness. You are the Shuddha Chaitanya. And through you only all these things are reflected as pure existence. If somebody tells you that you are not that, then if you don't say, no, it's not, I'm not this, then you need a doctor, somebody like a doctor to tell you, right? To step by step guide you. So that's why this Vedanta Upanishad teaches you that it unfolds you slowly to open your eyes, blind eyes. Means not jnana chakshushu, not the physical eyes. It opens you to, tries to tell you, okay, look, open your mind, open, think about it, that you realize that you are not this body, mind, sense complex. You are more than this. Yes, you are body, mind, sense complex, yes. But you also are something else apart from that. You open the eyes and see. Right. Then this existence is one that does not undergo any change. It is changeless. It continues to exist. Other things will change, objects will come and go, but the existence of the Sat which is there, it will continue to exist as it is. Then it has got characters of Ekam. It's got one, Ekam, Nityam. Ekam means one, Nityam means always, Nirvikaram, it has got no shape. Asangaha, unattached. Sarvagatam, it pervades all objects. Sarvagatam. So there are only there slip. There's a question somebody may ask that is it possible to experience existence? Somebody may ask, okay, you are saying existence. Is it possible to experience existence without the object? See, the pure existence or is not available. The pure consciousness is something which is not available for experience. You cannot say that I am the Shuddha Chaitanya Sat. You cannot experience it. You just know it. If somebody tells you that I'm experiencing consciousness or I'm experiencing Sakshi, then the person who is telling also doesn't know, first of all. All experiences are Nitya only. Anything, what is the experience? It's something which you know, which you have already gone through that. You can describe the experience, right? You can say that, yes, I experienced it. Means you know about it. So when you know about it, it is mithya only because it is time-bound only. That experience cannot last forever. If you sit in meditation for some time and you are experiencing samadhi for say half an hour or so, you can say that my kundalini is going up and down like I am able to, everything able to, I'm able to see the whole prana, everything going through this. How long will you experience this? Half an hour, 40 minutes, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days. After that, you cannot be in meditation forever. You have to come out. So the experience which you're talking about is limited and is always known thing. It's time bound. You cannot have that experience forever. Also, the same experience cannot be exactly the same thing as next time. The next time you meditate, it may be different also. You might not be that focused. You might not be that, you know, sharp. It's all possible. So that's why it says here that pure existence is not available for experience. You cannot experience it, you just know it. As cognitively you know that I am this Shuddha Chaitanyam and in this light of consciousness everything is reflected. The thoughts come and go. So these are some qualities of the existence which he talks about here. Is this clear to you, Natarajan, everyone? Is it clear? Next we go to Chit. What is Chit? Chit kim jnana sarupam. So Chit means consciousness. And jnana sarupam means it is called pure knowledge. that which is available as pure knowledge. So pure consciousness also is called what? Pure knowledge. Somebody may ask, what is impure knowledge? That knowledge which is not the truth is called impure knowledge. All of the things which you know, by which everything is known, is called pure knowledge. Tricky, right? All the things, the vidya, you know, the learning which you do, day-to-day things you do, they're all come and go. Nothing will be permanent with you. So that knowledge which is going to give you permanent happiness, or that which is not going to go forever, is called pure knowledge. And this knowledge is nothing but consciousness about who I am. This is the only, once you know this subject, once you know this truth, then all the other education doesn't really matter to you. Because you will be happy with this knowledge. Assuming that you are a PhD, you are a doctor or a PhD, you have done everything. Your bound is only limited to what you know. And it has got, it will bring you different benefits or time-bound benefits. You know, to keep on learning, keep on studying and keep on upgrading. Here in this case, you don't need to do this upgrading. Once you know what, who you are, everything else doesn't really matter to you. You'll be always be happy. Other things you'll have to keep on pursuing to make you happy. The person who studies, you know, BCom, he has to go to MCom. He has to do CA. He has to do double CA. He has to do something else. He'll keep on learning to progressing, right? And there's no end to it. So here, this one is talking about what the pure consciousness or the Sat. Sat is called Chit. Chit is also called Sat. So these two are interchangeable terms. Okay. And we cannot exist without this consciousness. If you look at, you know, the table you're writing on, that table is actually, we call it table, but the table actually, the existence is given by the wood, right? The wood is actually giving existence, lending existence to table. The wood also is being given existence by the tree or by the timber which is coming from whichever tree it is, right? The tree is also given existence by the mother nature on the ground, whichever ground is growing or the forest is growing. It is what it is. The forest also is part of the nature of Prakriti only, which is modified form of Brahman, which is the Maya. So ultimately you trace it back. It is only pure consciousness or Brahman which is there. Everything is all modified forms of objects available for experience. Tomorrow, if you don't like this table, you can demolish the table and say, I'll make a small stool. But has the main ingredient changed? No, the wood is still there. Only thing is now the wood has now become from table to stool. So that which is permanent in the wood and the table is, you know, in the table and the stool is a wood, right? That which is not changeable at all. You cannot say that, you know, as a new wood has come through. The same wood has now been demolished, you know, same table, and you have modified, painted it in a different manner. And now it looks like a beautiful stool. And now you are saying, oh my God, it's a beautiful stool. You forgot now the table, right? But the underlying essence of the truth is the wood. Likewise, the water and the wave also example the same thing. There will be many waves in the ocean. Ultimately, all the waves, they rise and fall in the same ocean only. Water is satyam. All the waves, the foam which you see, they're all namarupas. They come and go. Each wave, one wave is small, one will be big. One will be, you know, like a tsunami also will be there. But all of them will be only water only, right? Gold and also ornaments. Same example. Ornaments and gold, same examples. Correct. So what we should do is anything you should look at it. See, it is not for argument. So you should not go and tell somebody. Somebody says, No, I only see Brahman. If somebody asks you, do you see table? No, sir, I only see Brahman. Then they will be saying that you are mad. It is only for your cognitive understanding. See, when somebody is asking you an opinion about table, if I come to your house and say, how is this table? Says, I can see only Brahman. Then, you know, you will say, my God, I will not invite you next time. Better not ask this person, because he says that, yeah, table looks nice, beautiful table, good decoration, everything. But it is only for your understanding cognitively. See, Vedanta should never be discussed with the other person for argument. It is only for your assimilation. Lot of people, what they do, they have this Tarkavada. They discuss and they try to show that they know more. Right? And other person will try to give their ideas. And one person will say that this is what it is. Ultimately, what both the people are learning, one is a slightly better knowledge person, another is a... So, and both of them get confused. So that's why Vedanta is to be only to be assimilated and to be understood in one's own mind only. Because the moksha is for you, not for other person. If you are understood, fine. Forget about it. Whether your husband understands or not, it doesn't really matter. See, if he comes and tells you, or you know, okay, do you understand what it is? So yes, I understand what it is. He said, then you can explain to me. If you want to listen, I'll explain to you. But if the person is trying to point to you, saying that, okay, do you know what it is? Or and is trying to prove, then that person should not discuss it all. We should stay away, because there's no point in arguing about a point. This is to me, see, that's why Vedanta is never taught openly. It is only taught to select people who are interested in the right set of mindset. Like I told you example of, you know, when I went to the Omkaranda class, he gave example of some person who came from, you know, in the customs, immigration. He, because he's a sannyasi, the orange robe, they asked him who you are. He said, I am Brahmasmi. I'm Brahmasmi. He said, I am the pure Brahman, something. He had a name, but then he says, my name is so and so, I am Brahmasmi, something he said. The guy didn't understand. He said, you stand upright separately. Then he went and told that, you know, he's my student. He's come from India and we are all part of monk. He has told like this. So you have to tell what your name is as per the passport. You cannot tell this, for example, I am so and so Nanda, you know, and I come here. You cannot do all these things. Vyavaharika is different. So you have to be practical. So that's what Vedanta, people of Vedantis, they are sharp people. They are not dull people. They can distinguish when to run away and when to stay there. I think I told you a story sometime back in the class also, that one Vedanti, one Advaita, another person, not a Vedanti, and a king goes for hunting. The other person says, like, you know, this Vedanti is very sharp. And they all go for hunting, and then, you know, in the olden days, they go on elephant back. The king will sit on elephant back. And the Advaiti also, they are all walking in the front along. And suddenly they see a tiger, this king. And the king tells, look, there's a tiger in front. The Advaiti says, no, he needs a tiger to run away. He goes back to the palace, first king to run away. The king and the other person, they find the tiger, they kill the tiger. Then they bring the tiger back to the palace. Then the other person tells the, you know, king, look, I was telling you that this Advaiti person is a shrewd person. He ditched us when the tiger was there. And then he left us to fight the tiger and we came back. Then the king asked, like, you know, Advaiti, why did you do this? He said, look, you have to be practical, man. When you know there's a tiger there, when your life is in threat, don't try to argue the tiger saying that I am Brahmasmi, I know Vedanta. The tiger is not going to let you go. You are a king, you had ammunition, everything. I was sitting in the front, I had nothing. What do you expect me to do? Suppose you decide to run away. The king said, I won't run away, then what will I do? So I took the first step and ran away. So what it tells you is that you have to be practical. You have to decide what is right for you. If you think that this argument is useless, you stay away. You don't have to say anything. You just walk away saying that, you know, perfectly okay. Just smile. You're not criticizing anybody. You're just saying that, look, I think I know better than what I'm. So you leave it as it is. So this decision making, also consciousness, is the one which tells you. This Viveka, see, this is what is available to you all the time. If it is not there, the mind also will not process it. The mind is also reflected by the consciousness. We saw, right? So this whole universe, the whole thing, what you see here, the manifestation, is out of consciousness. Everything what you see here is a manifestation of consciousness. Nothing here is not this. So we have a famous sloka also in the Devi Bhagavatam. I don't know if you guys read or not, but there's a sloka called Chitirupena Yakrishnam Etat Vyaptam Hitam Jagat Namastasmai 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 Namo Namaha. So Chitirupena Yakrishnam. So it says Etat Vyaptam Hitam Jagat. Means this whole universe, Vyaptam means pervaded by what? By the Chitihi Rupena. So you, the Devi, is pervading the entire earth, entire universe, as pure consciousness. Chitihi, Chitirupena Yakritsnam, Etat Vyaptam Idam Jagat. So to that Devi, Namastasmai, 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 Namo Namaha. To that Devi, I am prostrating before you three times. Namastasmai, 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 Namo Namaha. Because you are existing all the three times, Kalatraya, you are existing in all the three times. So that which is present, ever present, in all the three times you saw Kalatraya. Right. See, the duty of the Shastra or any text is, they never tell lies. They are very consistent. Any text you take, anything you say, it will tell the same thing. But it will tell you in a different manner. This Devi Bhagavatam is actually a pure bhakti type topic. But there also, Vedanta is there. Lots of topics are there, like, you know, Shraddha Rupin Samchita, then, you know, Daya Rupin Samchita. So all these things are there. There's about 20 different aspects of the Devi described in the chapter. So for our understanding, Atman, consciousness, is supreme, Sat is Chit, Chit is Sat. They are two different names given, but they are only one same. Okay. Is this clear? Natarajan, Uma, Arun? The third aspect of that Sat, Chit, Anandaha is the last word, Anandam, or happiness. So this consciousness, or the Atman, which is called about, is pure Ananda. It has got no blemish. You cannot say that it is tired, or it is weak, or anything. It's always Ananda, always available as pure Ananda. So Anandaha ka Sukha Swarupaha. It says Sukha Swarupaha means that which is in the form of happiness. Sukham Swarupaha means in the form of happiness. Evam means in this manner. Evam, in this manner. Satchit Ananda Swarupam. That which is available as the nature of existence. Sat, Chit, consciousness, and Anandaha, wholeness, How do you know that? Swa-atmanam, as one's own self. So this Sat Chit Anandaha is the true nature of one's own self. Swa-atmanam. It is not available elsewhere. You cannot say that I am going to buy this or I am going to get this Sat Chit Anandaha from somewhere. After 5 years, I am going to start getting this. No. It is already available to you from the day you are born. They are all available to you. It is only not because it is covered by ignorance. And you need to discover it. So, discovery is a process of knowing the truth about one's own self, which is Sat Chit Anandaha. And Vijaniyat means, Vijaniyat means may one somebody know. Janat means may some know. So Vijaniyat means may one know. Or one should know that this Anandaha or this Atman is Sukha Swarupam. And it is Sat Chit Anandaha. We also call Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. We say this, right? Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Paramityoman. So, there also says Satyam Jnanam Anantam. Satya means Sat, Jnanam means knowledge, pure conscious, pure knowledge, Anantam, Ananda. This is said in Taittiriya Upanishad. And the person who knows this is what? Brahma Vida Apnoti Param. So, the person who knows this is Brahma Vid. The person who knows, or Vidvan, Brahma Vid is the person who knows Brahma, or this consciousness of this Brahman. And what does he do? Apnoti param. He achieves the ultimate truth, paramaha. Apnoti means attain and paramaha. So tat esha yukta. So this is this consciousness. Tat esha, esha we saw as in the Dirdashaveka, right? Esha. Tat esha yukta. So it is available as for knowing as consciousness, Yeshaha. So, Anandam is nothing but happiness. Like you just, once you know who you are, then you revel in the happiness. Because you are able to, all these unhappiness, Sukham, dukkham, pain, pleasure, heat, cold, everything is applicable only to the body level, gross and mind level. In mind you will feel that I got a headache. The mind you will feel that today I am a little tired. I want to sleep. All these things are part of the physical body, the sthula sukshma sharira. They are part of that. But this Atma is not tired because it doesn't sleep in it. You tell me when it sleeps. See, to be tired, it has to be doing something. It doesn't do anything. See, physically, we are tired because we are standing the whole day. We are walking here and there. We are not over, we are tired. But what does the Shastram say? Atma is only doer. It doesn't do anything. So, where's the question of getting tired? Where's the question of getting, you know, deteriorated? It doesn't. Correct. So, one has to know this. This is how you understand this meaning. That the Atma is not a doer. It's the Akarta. So being Akarta, it is not affected by anything. But because it is part of the body, we think that this is the body's Atma. And thereby we feel that, you know, we are tired. We are happy. We are not happy. I am bored. All these things is because this kalpitaha, the superimposition of the body mind sense complex on the Atma, the consciousness, is what is making you think that I am limited, I'm a small person, I'm limited individual, I don't have intellect, I am sharp, I am bored. All these things which are I am, you superimpose. The I am you put on the I, the internal I is what is called superimposition. the pure I is not saying that you are like this. The pure I is just pure I. But the am gets added to this. I am tall, I am short, I am beautiful, I am tired, I am sleepy, I am dreaming, all these things, correct? So all these are actually superimposition. And it says this Atma is Akarta, thereby it is actually not getting tired, it is just as it is. So Akarta, understanding this. This is clear to you. The chit is clear to you. Sat chit anandaha. So understand these three things. Sat chit, sat chit anandaha is also the name of the person also. Somebody will say, what is the name? Sat chit anandaha. So the person will not even know what is sat chit anandaha. He says, my name is sat chit anandaha. But when you know Vedanti, oh, you are sat chit anandaha, my God. So you are sat chit anandaha. You will immediately know the meaning. Because you studied the meaning of that now. Every name has got a meaning. No? Every name has got a meaning. We forget to know what the meaning is. So we don't know what the meaning is. Right? But when you study all these things, you will know that okay, the meaning, the name also has got a meaning. And it also ties back to some topic or some knowledge, correct? Right? So now this topic is over in terms of the Atma is over. He has sort of put this on an introduction. Now he's going to take up another topic. It is called the creation. So he's going to talk about now the creation or the manifestation of how this universe is existing. See, one has to know this universe, right? Then only you can negate it. So what it is made of? What is the source of this universe? How does it come into existence? Is what is talked about here. Okay, so it says here, Ataha Chatur Vimshati Tattva Utpatti Prakaram Vakshyamaha. Means, Vakshyamaha means we shall now go through, we shall explain. Vakshyamaha. Ataha means now. After the discussion on the Atman or the consciousness, after having seen what is Atman, now we are going to see what is this creation. Chatur Vim Shati Utpatti Prakaram. Okay. The 24 principles, Chatur Vim Shati means 24 principles, 24 essential principles or factors. Or then it says Tattva Utpatti. Utpatti means creation or the source of or origin. Utpatti. Tattvaha means this truth of what it is. Prakaram. We are going to go through the method of explaining. Okay. See, the author is very clear about saying 24. People say it can be 5. You can also say, 17. Pancha karma indriyas, pancha jnana indriyas, pancha pranas, manaha and buddhi. Right? 17. But here he is specific about 24. So we need to go through what this 24 is. Because he is saying chatur vimshati tattva utpatti prakaram vakshyamaha. So we are going to go through this. So to do this, we need to know what is this Jagat, what is the source of this Jagat or the universe. So when you say the universe or this world, which is outside existing, outside of us, we would need to know what is the source of this jagat and how does it come into existence. Then you will be able to negate this world also. How do you come to know Brahman? You will know consciousness only by negating certain things. You cannot directly say that I am Brahman. To do this, you say that I am not this. I am not this. This is not this. This is not this. This is not this. And ultimately come to the truth. Like when you buy a gold ornament also, I told you that when you have the gold ornament, you look at the design first. The design, you say that, for example, the design also is actually a form. Then the ornament also is just a form created by a goldsmith. The goldsmith also has got knowledge which is given to him. It is not like he has found that, found his knowledge somewhere else. Where did he get this knowledge from? His father would have told him. His father would learn from somebody else. His father, grandfather, forefather, something like this. So, somebody, there is always a person existing there who gave this knowledge. The ornament, the gold, the knowledge is in the gold itself. It is available as gold. But we don't see it because we see a separate things. We see the gold separate, ornament separate, goldsmith separate, and knowledge separate. Whereas all of them, they are tied together as only one padartha. The goldsmith cannot create anything without the gold. He cannot create anything without knowledge. And what we always say, pure knowledge is preceding everything else. In the light of jnanam only, all things are available to you for creation. If there is no knowledge available to you, you wouldn't even know what is to distinguish gold or silver also. So you know about it. So there is given to you. There is already given to you called, okay, I am giving you knowledge. I am giving you gold. I am giving you the tools. I am creating the intellect in you also to distinguish how to do this. So what does a person do? I am creating. What did he create? Did he create anything? He just used what is available to create this. So what do we say? No, this is my creation. No, this is my invention. What did you invent? You never invented something which is not outside there. You only used what is available to give a different name. And that's what you call invention. Correct? Had you created something which is not existing in this matter, then yes, you are the creator. But there's only one creator, which is Ishwara, is the only person. Jagat Srishti, Jagat Karana is the only person. Who is the efficient cause and the material cause? Right? That person who is actually the cause and the effect is only one person. We are neither of this. We are just people who utilize things, in between they come, we enjoy things, and then we say this is mine. So that's what he's trying to explain here, saying that this Brahman along with the Maya is the cause of the Jagat. Brahman is called pure consciousness and Jagat is called manifested or reflected consciousness. So Brahman has got the power and it uses the power to create a wheel called Maya, and that's what is actually giving rise to this universe. That's what it says here. So Brahma Rahasya, first is Brahmashraya. Brahmashraya means that which has got its being. Ashrayaha means has got a place. That which is residing in Brahma. He's going to talk about now Maya, is what talks about now. So this Maya is Brahma Ashraya, that which is residing in Brahman. Maya is Brahman, Brahman is not Maya. We are very clear about this. Okay. And somebody tells you what is Maya, how it is Brahman. Correct. What is Brahman, how it is Maya. You can't say this. Maya is Brahman. Okay. Maya actually is part of Brahman, but Brahman is not Maya. Okay, so Brahman supersedes everything. Within Brahman, all the Maya also comes in here. That's why we are able to negate it, saying that, okay, look, ultimate is consciousness. Then Brahma Ashrayaha, ब्रह्माश्रय सत्व रजस तमो गुण आत्मिक सत्व रजस तमो गुणात्मिक माया अस्ति. सो व्हाट इज माया अस्ति मीन्स दिस माया इज कॉल्ड ब्रह्म आश्रय दैट विच इज रिसाइडिंग इन ब्रह्म एंड विच इज एंडोर्ड विथ सत्व रजस एंड तमो गुणात्मिक that which is endowed with three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So these are the three qualities, sattva, rajas and tamas. We already know what is sattva guna, what is rajo guna, what is tamo guna. We already know to some extent. Right? That which is making you sattvic to be alert, to pursue this kind of topics is sattva guna. Raja guna will make you very, very rajasic activity wise, it will make you very action oriented person. There, sattvic is not there. Sattvic will be there little, raja will be very, very active. Tamasic also will be little there. In tamaguna person, people tamaguna, this they don't have any sattvic guna at all. They may have rajasic gunas. But predominantly they are tamasic people. They are called mandabuddhi people. They don't like to do things. They just like to enjoy. If somebody comes and gives them food nicely, they'll enjoy. No problem. No need to go. Why? We'll go out and eat. Every day they'll go and eat. Nothing, because you have to bend your back, you have to cook everything, right? A lot of work is required. So such people are called tamoguna. They are all very lazy people, relaxed people, don't want to exert any energy. Whereas the other people, all these three gunas are governed by the maya. If you think that, you know, the atma has got a gunas, no. The gunas are actually part of the physical body. Right? In the physical body, as I told you, that is what is making you sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. These are governed by the power of maya. And Maya actually is a power of Brahman. See, the powerful cannot be seen, right? There should be something called power, right? There should be some medium to know what is powerful. So this Maya is what is telling you that this Brahman is powerful. It's got power. And it uses the power of Maya to display its power. And it throws this universe into existence. So it is again kalpita, it's a superimposition, or it gives you a picture that this is what is real. But it is not real. Because this universe, or this everyday ghost goes into a black hole for you, right? At night, this doesn't exist for you. If you're a deep sleeper, if you go to deep sleep, say after 10:30 or 9:30 now, in half an hour you go to deep sleep, you're tired. None of this thing will remember you. You will not remember any class. Nothing was a class will be zero for you, nothing will be there. Next day morning when you wake up, you remember, yes, we had nothing was a class yesterday, we talked about Brahman, Maya, everything. So at that time, this universe doesn't exist for you. Why? Because the power of the Maya actually covers it. So there are two Shaktis which operate, called Vikshepa Shaktihi and Avarna Shaktihi. See, this Maya has got two powers. That power which actually covers, it's called avarana. That which covers your knowledge. Just like the cloud covers the sun. The sun is already existing, right? But the cloud actually covers it, avarana. Thereby giving you a view that the sun doesn't exist. But the sun also is available to know because the light is already there. Then only you know the cloud there. You cannot see the cloud when there is no sun there. So the sun is already existing as Nityam or consciousness. But it has got a power, like, you know, the cloud actually covers it. Right? So the cloud also, the Megam or the space, whatever you call them, everything, you know, everything is covered, is actually part of Maya. That which is created.
What is Vikshipta Maya, Shakti?
Vikshipta means that which throws out everything. Throws out. See, throwing out means like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, this whole universe comes into life again. Because the power of the Maya actually conceals your knowledge now. At night when you go to sleep, there is no bhedam about this universe, you, everything else. Everything is only one. Because it is unmanifest. Unmanifest means that which is not manifesting, medium is not there. Because your mind is not active anymore. Your mind is at rest. Yeah. It has gone into a state of silence. Your eyes can't see. Your ears can't hear anything. Somebody touches you also, you don't know. See, some people sleep. Like, you know. Even if you sit up, if you touch them also, they will not be able to wake up. They will turn like this and sleep. Because they don't even know. And next day morning, we say, I tried to wake you up so many times, you are not even listening to me. He says, I don't know. I slept. Some people have got this habit. Whatever you do them, wake them, they will not wake up. They have this habit. They can sleep any time also. Some people are so gifted that khade so jaate hain. They will sleep any time. You give them half an hour time, they will sleep like this. I remember this when I was working in a company in India. We had this person, we used to go from Kurla to Chembur. 362 bus from Kurla East. We used to take the bus and go to Chembur. It was a Bhagan theatre. It's a short trip, about maybe 15 minutes or so. And we had he was an accountant working for me. I was an executive accountant, so he was an accountant. So he used to, we get on the bus, he'll go to sleep immediately. I told Satish, how come you are sleeping like this? He said, I can sleep any time. Then exactly when the bus comes, he'll wake up. Some people have got this knack of sleeping any time. Like for me, it's not possible. There are people who sleep, you know, daytime also they'll sleep. If you sleep 3 hours during daytime, they can sleep 12 hours to night, and at night also they can sleep. For me, it's another problem. If I sleep by 3 hours, then I can sleep only 3 hours. I totally sleep only 6 hours maximum. 11:30 to 6 or 5:30 is what I sleep every day. That's all I sleep. And yesterday, I went to sleep at 9 o'clock. Yesterday, I woke up at 3. And all of the 3 o'clock to 5:30, my all Jindya Shivaka was all coming. All sort of mantra, everything. I woke up finally. I had a glass of water and I went to sleep. So what it said, whatever you discuss, whatever you talk about at night, those impressions come during when you wake up. So if you wake up, if you go watching a Rajnikant movie, fighting Shivaji, etc., you will wake up with Shivaji, Rajnikant only. Indran only will wake up. Because the impressions which go there is important. That's why you always go to sleep with Sattvic thought in your mind. So what it tells you is like the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam. Nimitta means the cause and the effect. The cause and the effect are called the Nimittam and Upadana Karanam. The Brahman or the consciousness is both. It actually has got the power and also the material also to create everything. It doesn't need anything else. So the two examples we use to illustrate this. One thing is the Purna Nabihi. Purnanabhihi is called a spider. The spider, as I told you before also, the spider has got the capacity to create. It is a cause of the web, also the effect also of the web. It doesn't need anything else, any other matter, any other material to go out and create a web. It has got the capacity within itself to create a web of its own. And it can also retract when it wants. So the Vikshepa Shaktihi is what we call as the throwing out of the web. So it at night, if you see, you know, in Australia, especially in my house sometimes, daytime you walk, no spider at all. You will not be able to, you can walk through straight. But at night when you start walking 9:30, you will see some thread will come on your head. Somebody, you know, something will fall on your head. Because they are very busy spinning web. In the morning when you see the webs are there. Next day morning, sometimes after 5 days, it is not there. You go and chase it to, you know, to kill the web, it is not there anymore because the web is already gone. Either it has flown away or the spider has gone somewhere else and is building somewhere else. So what it tells you is this creation, or this is actually purely your imagination, or you know, the material and the effect is they are same. They are only one source. It doesn't go anywhere. Another example which you can see is a dream. We all dream, right? And the dream, what do we do? Do we go out and get, you know, supposing you have a dream about, you know, a beautiful romantic dream, you can say, or very, you know, bad dream about somebody chasing you. Like, I don't want to talk about elephants, some other topic. Did you go and get this elephant, or did you go and get this gun from somewhere else? Did you physically get up and get this gun? Or you know, somebody's trying to shoot you, or somebody's trying to knife you. You'll get all these ideas. To get, you know, a good Rajesh Khanna movie or Shani Kapoor movie, as we talked about before the class. So you'll be having a romantic song and you'll be visualizing all these songs. There, the heroine also is created by you. You can see her in different colors, different forms, size, different styles. The hero also is coming also. You're also the hero there. Do you go out and create a hero on your own? Like you are physically on the bed there. You don't even know that you are existing, first of all. Number one, your body is not active. Your stula sharira is as good as not existing. Right? But your only activity is your mind is existing. Right? And in the mind, what do? You create all these objects. You create a scenery. You create a song. You're the song director. You write the music also. You know what pace to dance also. You can dance Zumba, all this you can do. Multiple things you can do. You can be there for next 6 hours also. Non-stop you can be with multiple people who are there. You will enjoy all those things which you can't do during daytime. Everything will be available for experience in the dream. There you are the creator, you are the Srishtikarta, you are also the Palanhar also. You are the protector also. You are the destroyer also of the dream. Because when you wake up, it is destroyed. So the example of this creation is also where it says that it is happening in our own life also. So if you look at it, you don't need anything else. That cluster is like this, this universe which is there. It is created by this power of Maya. And the power of Maya is what is throwing out this universe and letting you know that this is all available to you for experience. Like a dream. So people say the whole life is like a dream. You say that, right? Jokingly you say, my God, I am in a dream life. No? You say this. In reality, you are in a dream only. We are all in dream only. Only thing is, we are in real life dream. In the night, the dream is temporary. But in even practical also, it's a dream life only. Because whatever you see here, it's not permanent. Just like the dream when you dream at night. Everything comes and everything goes. Anybody chasing you, anybody you're romancing also, it's temporary only. Next day morning, next day you cannot continue the dream, same dream. Somebody will say, no, I think last time I dreamed is Rajesh Khanna. Today let me pick some other hero. So you pick somebody else. Or you may, if you feel a fascination for that person, you'll continue also. But in a different moment, see that dream will be not the same. You'll get bored, right? You'll continue with some other topic, something will continue. So all these things are all kalpitaha, or these are all changing all the time. And this power of Maya is what is making us understand that this is all real. But in reality, this is not absolutely real. Yes, it is seemingly real, yes. But in reality, it is not existing as you think is real. That's what it says here. Because the gunas, the sattva gunas, the tamo gunas, rajo gunas, they act upon us. And they really twist us to really believe that this is what it is. And this is the power of the Maya. This is what it does. And the Maya, the power of Maya belongs to Brahman, nothing else. The person who transcends this Maya, the person who understands this as the three gunas or the Prakriti, and he transcends beyond this, he's a person who is called Brahma with the Atmoti Para. That person attains Brahman. People say, like, if you look at, you know, the world, they've discovered planets. There are billions of plants out there. We don't even know about it. Every day they are discovering. Some new stars will be discovered. Some new satellites will be discovered. Some black hole is discovered. Lots of things. You've seen the paper, every day they discuss lots of things. What are they trying to do? They are discovering which is already existing. They are not discovering something new. It is already a manifestation already existing. People don't know about it. They come to know only when they know about it. Because your mind can only reflect what you can think about it, awareness. The moment you come to know about it, you are aware about it. Otherwise, you don't know anything about it, correct? It doesn't mean that awareness is not there. Awareness is not available for reflection at the moment. So all these things which you see here, the planets, they are all actually all existing already. And they are already given to you. They already know, you already know about it. You already have a name for it. You have a function for it. They have availability. So see, the reason why we say creation is because it has to be intelligent. See, there should be some intelligence behind it. You cannot say that everything which is seen here is not proper. Everything is structured properly. Like you see, there's an order. There will be what you call a season. There are three seasons or four seasons. They come and go. And every season has got its own, you know, pros and cons. It will be hot, it will be cold. Come June, it will be cold here. Come August, it will be windy here. Come December, it will be hot here. Correct? So these things are consistent, it doesn't change. There may be this El Nino effect, something will happen here and there. But by and large, they happen to follow a pattern. Even the flowers also, they rise, they also bloom in a particular time only. So there's an intelligent order created, correct? If you look at a clock, watch, right? The watch which you're wearing also is put together intelligently. There's a particular order in which you have to do it. You cannot just randomly put some parts here and there and say the clock is working. You have to have a particular way of, you know, putting the watch together. So there's an order, there's Srishti. So this is what we call creation. Creation is called what? A particular intelligent way of manifestation of Brahman or Brahman through the power of Maya is called Srishti here. Or creation. But you can trace, if you got a clock or watch, you can trace the source of the watch. You can say it is made of, you know, leather strap. It has got a metal, you know, dial. It has got parts. And you can actually say that the metal parts are made of iron or maybe it is made of, you know, steel. And the steel is made of something else. You can actually say atoms and, you know, and some atoms and everything else. But here you cannot talk about Brahman. How can you say that? Because it has got no attributes. You cannot break it. We saw before, indivisible, partless whole, right? That which can be divided. Whereas all the things can be divided. Time can be divided. Season can be divided. Plants, trees can also be classified into different categories. Mountains can also be classified into Everest, lot of things, you know, snowy mountain, this mountain, that mountain, classified, because different things are there. Right? So everything which you see here, even the ocean also can be classified. Right? You got Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, we got names. Right? But ocean is only one. What do? You actually separate them depending upon what is, which country is there, which zone is there. But water is everywhere. So what it tells you here is that all the things which you see here, they are all divisions of space and time. They all occur as divisions of space and time only. Desha Kala Naina Vaichitra Chitrikita. So it says they are all part of Desha Kala, Desham and Kala, place and or space and time. And the other thing we should look at also is the creator of this world, or the creator. He cannot be sitting somewhere else and saying, creator, I'm creator. He's available as intelligent and efficient cause. You cannot say that he's sitting somewhere else out there and he's creating a world of his own. Then that person also should have a time. See, the creator also, if he's there, then the creator also should have a person to create. What it tells here, this creation is automatic. It is not actually done by anybody or anything like this. It comes and goes. It is part of the power of Maya, the power of Brahman. And it contracts, it extends, it covers, it uncovers, and it is put together by an intelligent order mechanism. So if you cannot trace it back, nobody can explain the source. Even scientists today, they are not able to explain what is happening. Why is this like this? They are saying that, okay, everything is pattern. Now they are understanding consciousness. See, if you see the discussion now, they are accepting now consciousness as the truth. Lots of medical journals, lots of, you know, analysis being done now. And they are discussing now consciousness as something which is existing even in a person dead also. But it is not available for experience. Previously they used to say this person is dead. Means he is dead, unconscious. Unconscious means he is not. But Vedanta says no, he is not unconscious. His body is dead. But he is conscious, he's alive in terms of pure Atma or the consciousness. Correct? This is what now science is coming to experiment now. We said long time ago, Vedanta says many years ago that this is what is the truth. And they are all now coming to explain. That's why the Vedanti doesn't do anywhere else. He doesn't have to learn anything else. All the things which science had to learn, he's learned by Vedanta and Upanishad itself. He says, this creation is all Maya only. Manifestation is Maya only. All these are impermanent only. Whatever you study here, what they do, biology, everything they teach you, they all there with the body, it's got life and death, it will deteriorate. They all teach you. They all call paravidya. Aparavidya. They are just, you know, not that true knowledge. So we talked about Jagat here, about this is what is the, there's a article written by me on the Vedagyan website. If you look at this, something called what is Srishti and what is Maya also, you can refer that also. It has got some examples as well. Because I covered long time ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So we talked about dream, we talked about Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam. So Maya is Brahman, we talked about Maya is Brahman, but Brahman is not Maya. Okay. So we have to be very clear about it, that you know, Brahman supersedes everything else. Okay. And Maya also is Mithya only, because that is which is known through consciousness can be discounted, can be removed. Because you know that this, you are ignorant about it and now you are knowledgeable about it. Both of them you know. So when you say you know, that which you know already is not existing for you. That which is unknown, that is what you are. So now he's going to talk about the five elements. See, he has given you an idea about what is Brahman. We have seen the Atma, the consciousness as Satchitanandaha. Then he has told already that this consciousness of Brahman is operating through Maya, a power which Brahman has already got. And it uses this Upadhi called Maya to reflect itself as a universe. Without the power of Maya, this universe will not be available for you. And Brahman also cannot be known to you. That's why we say everything is Ishvara. Why do we say Ishvara? Ishvara is what manifested consciousness. Manifested knowledge is what Ishvara is. So whatever we see here, we ultimately we say it's all Ishwara here, because everything is available here as God only. There's nothing else available here. Everything is God, only God. There's no one God or two God, only God. So the Hindus, you know, the way we worship is, we say there's only God here. Nothing else is available here. So we worship everything, from dog to cattle to, you know, computers, whatever we do, we worship everything. Even sometimes we don't even step on the book also with feet, because we have reverence for this. What do we say that, oh, I can't touch it? Even if you accidentally hit somebody also, you feel sorry for that, right? Because you say this, you do like this. Why do you do this? Because you see Paramatma in that person. We do it accidentally. We don't even know why we do it. But the real purpose of doing that is, you see that, no, I see you as a Lord there. I see Ishwara there. And that's why when I kick somebody accidentally, you automatically do this like this, you do this, right? Do that. So that you don't want to hurt somebody. So, now he's going to say how this universe is coming into existence, or the creation is made up of what elements. So he's going to talk about one by one. Tata Akashaha means from the Brahman first came Akashan or space. Okay, with Maya, space. Sambhutaha means born. He is born. So this is actually a topic in Kathari Upanishad. It says Akashat Vayuhu Vayu Agnihi Agnir Apaha Oshadibhyo Annam Annat Purushaha Sava Esha Purushamida Eva Tasya Eva Eva Sharira Atma Yav Purvasya. It says Sava Edam Purushamida Eva Tasya Eva Sharira Atma. So Akasha Sambhutaha. First it came Akasha. Then Akashat Vayuhu. It said in Taittiriya Upanishad, we have a topic called, you know, Brahmananda Valli, which is a chanting, beautiful, beautiful text also. And in the chanting it says here, it tells the creation of the universe, or how it is created. Same thing he's talking about here, as Tata Akashaha. First came the space, Sambhutaha. Then from Akashat Vayuhu, from the space was born air, Vayu. Then from Vayu, Vayu Tejaha. Tejaha means fire. So from the Vayu, or from the air, the fire came into existence. You will see how he is created. He's just giving you the view how they are coming in the order. Then from the fire, apaha came, water came. From the fire, water came. Waters. Then from the water, the prithvi came. Abhya prithvi. So tejasaha apaha. Apaha means waters. From the fire, the waters came. After that, abhya prithvi. So the prithvi came last. Earth came last. So space was the first. So in the order of destruction also, the earth will go. The space will be the last to get dissolved. Right? Then the water will go from the earth. See, how does it go? Because see, when there's no water, right? The earth first goes, water goes, completely dried out, right? Then everything else will catch fire because no water available there, right? So destruction, how does it happen? You will see that the reverse cycle is happening. When this, you know, this whole thing is going to be dissolved, or when the whole thing in Kali Yuga, when it's going to go, first thing is going to be this, all this vegetation, earth which you see here, they're all going to go. Nothing will be here. Then the water also will go, will get dried up. Then the fire will take over everything. It will all be ravaged with fire. Everything will be all burnt completely. Then the Vayu will take over everything. All the, you know, the, because the Vayu also, you know, blows everything out, right? Then finally the space also will get polluted. It will get dissolved completely. Because so much of destruction happened that all these things will go back, and finally you will go back to the same Srishti. Then again what happens? Akashat Vayuhu Vayor Agnihi Agnir Apaha Adya Prithivi Oshadi Bhyo Annam. So from the Oshadaya Annam, so from the Prithivi, Oshadaya means from, you know, vegetation, you get Annam. See how beautifully it says that Anna Purushaha, from the food, the people are born. Because from the water, it is coming from the sky, you get vegetation. The vegetation is eaten by the man and the woman, both. It may be different countries, different places. And the food actually is the consummation. And thereby another person is born. That person also eats the same food, because the mother eats the food, the person or the child also eats the food, and it is coming out. That child also eats the food from the earth. So you can imagine that how you are not doing, you are all part of the whole cycle. Nothing is there. Correct. So tada akashaha sambhutaha, from this Brahman, the power of Maya, Akasha first came, or the space came. Then Akasha Vayu. So from there the air came. Then Vayu Tejaha. From the Vayu, the Tejasa means the fire came first after that. Then the water came, Tejasa Apaha. From the fire the water came. Then the last one is Adya Prithivi. The Prithivi or the earth came last. See, now it's basically Brahman is not saying, I can see they are talking Brahman now, because now Brahman is there. Now he's talking about the modified Prakriti, the modified power of Maya. He's saying now the Maya is what the Brahman has got the power to do this, and it's actually now created, its manifestation itself as what? Space, fire, all the five elements he's talked about, right? So when you look at the five elements, you would dismiss saying that, okay, these five elements are also part of Brahman only. Because from that only this all came. So this is non-separate. And the five elements, the body also belongs to five elements. So I also belong to Brahman only. Because we are made of what? We are made up of Pancha Prana, right? We have got five elements. We've got water, we've got prana, we've got annam, right? Everything we've got. So we are also part of the same Srishti, the same elements. The five elements are also part of Maya. They all belong to Brahman. So where do we see, how do we know that you are different from Brahman? When do we say that we are not this? We are always part of that. Only thing is we didn't know. Because nobody taught us this connection between the creation or the manifestation of Brahman as the five elements and our body consisting of five elements. See, I think I said the same thing is said. Maya kalpita desha kala karana by chitra chitrikita. Dakshinamurti Sutram says number 2. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana by chitra chitrikritam. So all these things which are there, maya kalpita means my assumption. Kalpita means my superimposition. Desha kala karana. So all this space and time is a superimposition of what and what understood, correct? Vaichitra Chitrikrita. So they're all different things. Vichitra Marga, everything. How do we superimpose? Dakshinamurti, I think I did. Let me see. So Chitrikritam means multiplied or magnified. Chitrikritam is called multiplied or magnified. So there's a verse in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. If you got time, you can refer to the Stotram. Verse number 2, which is Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitra Chitrikritam. Dakshinamurti Stotram. So, Desha, see here, Desha means space. Desha Kala means, Desha means space. Kalaha means time. And Maya means Maya. And Kalpitaha means appears. Kalpitaha means appears superimposition. Correct? Chitrikritam means multiplied or magnified. And Vaichitriyam means through variety or plurality. See, my notes are here. Can you, I don't know if you can see. In Tamil, it says here, no? Chitrikritam means multiply. So this world became differentiated. After being manifested. So after manifestation, this world became divided or multiplied or varied because of the Maya Kalpita. And Desha Kala Kalana, but time and space, it got divided by time and space. So all the things which you see here, they are all divisions of time or space. Right? Nothing else is there. So that I'll teach you that. See, this is the last of the topic. Dakshinamurti Stotram is taught in the last. A person who knows the topic, Dakshinamurti Stotram, he knows Upanishad, everything very well. Because it's the essence of the whole Vedanta given in maybe in 12 verses. And my teacher taught me this long time ago, maybe in 2010 or 11 she taught us. Then later she realized that, you know, that she should not have taught us this. But then she told, like, I think you guys can advance, you already know a lot of things, so it's okay. Then she taught us other things. After that, we went into Tattva Bodha, Atma Bodha, Kavala Upanishad, Muntaka Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Ishavasya Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, all those things. Now, Panchadashi, then Saddarshanam, Upanishasaram. Lots of topics are there to learn. It will take 7-8 years. You can be there. If you are here for with me, 7-8, you will be there. You will learn all the topics. So that's what it says here, that from the water, earth, Prithvi came. So we must remember here that the Brahma Ashraya has got three gunas, right? And they will be there because the qualities will flow into the effect. All the qualities will be there, which will flow into the effect. So all of them will have Sattva gunas, Rajo gunas and Tamo gunas. So next is going to talk about, I'll just talk about this a little bit in, you know, overview, then I'll cover it in the next class. Now from the sattvic aspect, you know, he's going to talk about each of the qualities, each of the sattvic aspect. He has talked about what is Atma. He has talked about the power of Maya as the power within Brahman to reflect. And he has said that it has got three gunas. And we have also seen that the universe or Jagat is a manifestation of Brahman through the power of Maya. And it has got the five elements. We saw the order of the creation also, which gets created. The same order, it will get destroyed also. Just like the space will be the last to get destroyed. Space. It will be the last to go. Everything else will go in the same order. same creation, the reverse cycle. Go like this. So you see, etesham pancha tattvanam madhya akashasyaha. So etesham means here, among these five, etesham, among this pancha tattvanam, means pancha tattvanam means these five elements, pancha tattvam, madhya akashyaha. So the space, akasha, sattvikam, shrotriyam, sambhutam. Sattvika amsha, sattvika amsha means sattvika amsham of the aspect came from what? Shrotriyam, organ of hearing is born. So it says here that among these five elements, etesham panchatattvam madhye. Among the five elements, from the sattvika aspect of space, see now we are going into detail. He is going to talk about the space, sattvika, rajasic and tamasic aspect of space, what is born. So first he says, the first order of creation was space. Now he's going to go one level down. Okay, from the space, the sattvika element, the shrotriyam came into first into existence, or the power of hearing, organ of hearing came into existence. First one. Then, vayo sattvik amshaha tvak indriyam sambhutam. Vayo sattvikam amshaha tvag. Tvag means touch. Organ of touch, tvag. Indriyam, organ of touch. Indriyam means organ. Indriyam means organ. And tvag means touch. So you put like this. Vayoho means from the vayu aspect. From the sattvic aspect of the air. From the sattvic aspect of the vayu, amshaha, tvag indriyam, the organ of touch came into existence. Don't worry about it now, what I'm saying, because he is just trying to illustrate to you what came in which order. Then he is going to put all together saying this is all like this. So he is saying, okay, understand that. That's why we worship everything. See, we worship skin. The whole body is supposed to be, what we always say, nah, body is a temple. We say that, right? English we say, body is a temple. Right? Kudirindha koil. Padamna patrikalya. Kudirindha koil. MGR. Jalitana patrikalya. Kudirindha koil means what? Inside there's a koil. There's a temple there inside. That Lord is staying inside there is what is. But there Jalalita is Kudirindha koil is what Jalalita is in MGR's heart. Different. So, all the parts of the body are to be worshipped, nothing to be neglected, because there's a dehi sitting inside the body and we have to respect each part of, that's what it says here. If you understand that the whole srishti is coming from Brahman and they are coming in the order, the space, the sattvic aspect of space is a shrotram, the sattvic aspect of the vayu is the tvag, touch. So, why Bhagavan is there? Right. So sattvika amshaha of the sattvic aspect of the air came the tvak indriyam. Sambhutam means born. Sambhutaha means is added. Sambhuta means added. Okay, just say created, called created. I'll take maybe another 2 more minutes and I'll complete this one. Then it says agnihi sattvika amshaha Chakshuhu Indriyam Sambhutam. Agnihi Sattvika Amshaha Chakshuhu Indriyam Sambhutam. So the whole verse is like this. Agne Sattvika Amsha Chakshu Indri Sambhutam. Word like this. So I break it up like this. Agnihi Sattvika Amshaha Chakshuhu Indriyam Sambhutam. Means from the sattvic aspect of the Agni came the organ of sight. Clear? So it is going in the order. So he is saying, okay, the space has got the ear, the vayu has got the touch, the agni has got the power to see. Then jalasya svatika amshaha rasanindriya indriyam sambhutam. Jalasya svatika amshaha rasana indriyam, rasana indriyam sambhutam. Means rasana means what? Taste. Rasana, rasam. Rasam. We say rasaha, rasam. Right? Rasa means taste. So rasa, rasan, rasana indriyam means what? Taste. That's why we'll know that okay, there is malag rasam, puli rasam, or garlic rice rasam is there. We say this taste tells us like that. Rasam also is given different names also. Also, we can say Mame Samar Nar Rasam Narku and Gatha Samar Narasam Narakas. Each of us Narku are Narakas. See, we have different tastes, right? A person who has got each chumbu at home, you know, each chumbu, that Rasam will have a different taste. Of course, if you burn it from well, sometimes possible, if you forget, it will burn also. It will get different taste also. And if you make during a stainless patram also, it will have different taste. So, two things also. If you go to Mamya's house, the sambar hall is better than my house. I mean, I should not say this, but this is what it is. Or they have the traditional taste, which I don't know how they want to make it, but how do they make it? That sambar taste will be unique from everybody else. I don't know, from the olden days, she's 80, now 83 years old now. And certain places you go, you will not be able to recollect or reproduce the taste which they have. And the kaimanamba, that will come. So this rasanam indriyam, is coming from the water aspect of this. Organ of taste is born. Then Prithivi is giving you what? Sattvika Amsham Grana Indriyam. The organ of smell. Good. So from the prithvi aspect, so Uma has got mulagrasam at the home. So if you want a mulagrasam, you can just have to smell. Just have to show it to her, that's it. Unfortunately, we can't taste. So prithviyaha sattvika amsham grana indriyam sambhutam. Means organ of smell or the nose is came into existence. So there's an order here. See, that's why I told you that this Srishti is not put together randomly. It doesn't say that you just, okay, let me start with, you know, let's create fire first. Let me create, you know, water first. It came in an order. And there's a particular order. Just like I told you, the watch also has to be put in a particular order. And you cannot just say, I'll buy a watch and I'll buy the quartz separately, I'll put somewhere else and I'll connect it remotely, it'll work. It's not working. You have to put it, everything should be in a perfect position. Only the watchmaker will know how to do this. Because he has got intelligence to do this, correct? Likewise, Ishwara is a person who has got intelligence to create this complex universe, systematic universe, which works clockwise perfectly without fail for it. Like, you are able to get up in the morning, do things, and they're granted, right? Trains will run, everything is running. You are able to go everything perfectly alright. You don't have any complaint. There are complaints, of course, you know, things doesn't work sometimes. But they are all changing nature, which is okay. But all of them are given to you in a particular order. Nothing is actually going contrary, right? You don't expect. Day doesn't change, night doesn't change, right? Morning doesn't change. Everything is operating on its own. Come 10 o'clock, come 6:30, sunsets. Come 7, 10 o'clock, you feel sleepy. 6:30, you want to wake up. Because the sun comes, you can't sleep. The sun tells you, you wake up. Even though your body is not, you still can't sleep. You may be awake, mentally also. Right? So these are all actually happening systematically, and the Ishvara or the Srishtikarta has put this in a particular order. So what this one talks about here, that you have to go systematically from Brahman, power of Maya, Maya, how these three Amshas came into picture, the Sattvika, Rajasic, Tamasic Gunas, and then from each of them, the order of space, you know, the Vayu, the fire, everything came into picture, right? So now he is going to talk about the Rajasic aspect, Tamasic aspect, then he is going to put everything together. So 24 elements he's talking about is like this. 24 elements is like, you know, Sattvic, 5. Other 5. Other 5. And this will keep on adding everything. Great. So we'll go through this. So that's what it talks about, is 24 elements are there, which is made out of this, all this universe. And all these are known to you. All of them. You know what is fire. The prana which you also, you know. Rasam, monodrasam also, you know. Right? Everything is known to you. So he says, all these are all known to you, they're all mithya only. The taste is known to you, the smell is known to you, the fire is known to you, the touch is known to you, hearing is known to you, eyes seeing is known to you. Right? In the other Upanishad, he talks about, look, I don't want to know this. He says, I know I can see, I know I can hear, I know I can taste it. I want to know that power by which these things operate. Who is the person sitting there and telling instructions? Who is the power by which everything operates on its own? That's the question of the student there. The student directly goes in Kena Upanishad. Kena, Ishita Manaha, is asked. How does the mind work? He asks question. But what does the mind get reflected? It's the question, first question he asks in the Upanishad. And the teacher is a direct response. The teacher tells him question to answer. He answers the question to the point. The student there is actually a very advanced student. He says, I don't want to know about all these things. I already know these things. Tell me that which I don't know, is the question asked. So when you go to the Kena Upanishad, you will know the same topics we will discuss. But it will get reinforced. Your knowledge will get reinforced again and again. And you will never be able to forget this. Sometimes if you don't read it, you will forget. After 6 months, 1 year, if you come to the class, you will forget. After, you know, if you don't attend regularly, also you will forget. But over a period of time, by repeatedly listening to the same lecture, that's why the teacher says, even though you have studied also, Shravanam should be there for you. You still have to go through Shravanam all the time. Without Shravanam, you cannot drain for the facts. You have to keep on listening. Keep on listening. It will be boring for you. Same Atma, consciousness, Brahman, body, Mithya, negation, Atma, all these things, Adhyaropa, Apavada, everything. What is he talking about? But the more and more we talk about it, more and more we dwell upon it, our concepts will be very, very clear. We will not be able to forget, even in our wildest dreams also we can forget. It will keep on, that is called Nididhyasana. That is called where you are actually in meditation, where you don't do meditation. Because your thoughts are always there, 24/7. You will be able to respond quickly. When somebody puts a question, you will immediately, your buddhi will go there only. And you will think from different angle compared to other people. Other people will respond purely vyavaharika. You will think in a different aspect because you see a different view of what other person doesn't think. Because your mind is different. You are not analytical. You are using the intelligence given to you and analyzing very clearly and putting your own perspective of what is the truth and what is untruth. Right? So you also, everybody will get it. So over a period of time, if you keep on dwelling upon it, you will get it. So in the next class when we come, in the next Tattvavada class, we will go through this again. And we will also elaborate a little bit more in detail about the aspects, why he is talking like this. What is the purpose of giving this order? We will go through this. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सो आई विल सी यू ऑल ऑन संडे संडे क्लास सम ऑफ यू ओके ओम